Prison Radio on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on www.cqut.ca on the World Wide Web. News, interviews, and music featuring the voices of prisoners, their allies, and supporters. Tune in to the Prison Radio Show on the fourth Friday of every month between 11 a.m. and noon, or on the second Thursday of every month between 5 and 6 p.m. To get involved in Prison Radio or finding help searching for past programs, email prison@cqut.ca.
Hosts for today's show. As we often do, we're going to start with some news.
According to itsgoingdown.org, immigrants incarcerated at the Northwest Detention Center continued their protest of conditions inside the Tacoma, Washington immigration prison as the hunger strike entered its third week. Outside supporters confirmed that at least 50 detainees were refusing to eat and were extending their protest to boycotting the commissary. The hunger strikers are demanding lower prices in commissary, contact visit at all times, pay more than $1 to workers per day, and better food like actual meats instead of soy, beans, and rice. For updates, you can visit facebook.com/NWDC Resistance, as in Northwest Detention Center Resistance.
As of April 26th, Palestinian prisoners participating in a hunger strike in Israeli prisons issued a new statement. More than 1,500 prisoners have been on strike for 12 days now. They are demanding an end to the denial of family visits, the right to appropriate health care, the right to education in prison, and an end to solitary confinement and administrative detention, which is imprisonment without charge or trial. You can read more about their demands and the conditions they face at samidoun.net. That's SAMIDOUN.net.
And stay tuned, because coming up next, we are going to hear from Justin Pichet of the Nope campaign. You are listening to Prison Radio Show on CQUT.
This is Angela Davis. You're listening to CKUT 90.3.
Angela, you're one of a million of political prisoners.
Warehouse full of niggas and other misfits. They ain't couldn't turn tricks in the courthouse.
We are currently live on the phone with Justin Pichet of the NOPE campaign, which stands for No on Prison Expansion. Justin, can you hear me?
Yep.
Great. So Justin is an associate professor in the Department of Criminology at the University of Ottawa. His research explores how the necessity of imprisonment is reproduced and challenged in government bureaucracies, news media, and popular culture. And we'll be talking to Justin about the newest fight against prison expansion in Canada. Justin, can you talk about the petition that you and a few others wrote that has been circulating calling on Prime Minister Trudeau to enact a federal prison construction moratorium while encouraging Canadian provinces and territories to do the same?
Right. So when the current government of Canada came into power in 2015, Prime Minister Trudeau had mandated the Minister of Immigration to look for alternatives to immigration detention. And he also mandated the Attorney General and Minister of Justice to look at alternatives to incarceration, particularly for Indigenous peoples. And, you know, after that, they've done some contradictory things. So, for instance, they allocated $138 million towards refurbishing the immigration detention centers in Laval and Vancouver. They've recently announced that they were going to allocate $56 million to the government of Nunavut for them to replace the Baffin Correctional Center. And so it's kind of in that context that we've decided that we definitely need to push for a moratorium on prison construction in this country so that we can eventually move towards divesting from prisons and reinvesting in what we would define as being justice. So that's what it's about. You can find the petition, Canadian Prison Construction Moratorium, at change.org. And basically, we're noting that prisons fail in terms of their own objectives. They reproduce inequality. And when we spend money on prisons, we're diverting funds that could all otherwise be spent on community infrastructure, such as, you know, housing, education, health and mental health care, public transit and the like that promote our collective well-being and safety. So that's what we're calling upon the Canadian government to do, is to say we're not going to fund carceral expansion ourselves, and we're not going to support provinces and territories doing that as well. And we're hoping that, I guess, it's a long-term project about building capacity, getting people organized and on side with this idea that we need to stop expanding prisons, then work towards divestment and justice reinvestment, getting groups and individuals to say no to prison expansion, which is actually a pretty hard proposition to do when you have many so-called prisoner advocate organizations that take contracts for the state from the state to administer prison programs and do incarceration in our communities at halfway houses and so on, to try and get them to say no to prison expansion and to position us in the long term to dismantle and build something anew to work towards a world without prison. So this is a preliminary step, and we're just trying to see at this point if we can actually get groups interested in this and individuals interested in this and signing on to this and hopefully building momentum going forward. So we'll see if pointing out the contradictions in the Liberal government's pursuit of alternatives funding and contributing to prison expansion will actually get them to stop in their tracks. And if it doesn't, then, you know, we just need to keep building, organizing, and hopefully we'll get there at some point where a government takes this kind of demand seriously and incorporates it into their program, I guess.
So you guys started circulating this petition a few weeks ago. Can you talk a little bit about some of the initial reactions you've gotten from either different community groups or different individuals who've seen it so far?
Right. So this went up a couple weeks. We've already got over 350 supporters. We're hoping that we get another 150 or so to reach 500 by the time we present our brief on prison expansion to the Senate Standing Committee on Human Rights on May 3rd. So we're hoping to try and push those numbers in that direction to send a bit of a message to the senators we'll be speaking to. In terms of groups that have gotten on board, the Prisoners Correspondence Project has supported this. Early on, one of our first supporters was the Canadian Friends Services Committee, or the Quakers, who argued that we need to develop and encourage responses that, and I'm quoting them, that actively prevent harm, repair harm, and move beyond harm in relation to the justice system through means that are healing for all concerned and for society as a whole. More recently, the Canadian Association of Elizabeth Fry Societies has gotten on board and said that they're basically wanting to advocate for decarceration as well. So, we're hoping that more and more groups join us to this end and build build something on this issue. Obviously, not all groups that are going to sign on to this will agree on other things, but I think we need to build capacity to focus on this particular issue and move the agenda forward towards a world without prisons.
So in addition to the petition, NOP has also put out a report.
Right.
You talked a little bit about some of the details of that report earlier, but can you tell us a little bit more about some of the new stats that you guys are putting out?
Right. So we collected data from February 2016 to January 2017, so for about a year, through access to information requests, as well as we also phoned the various prison agencies across the country. We've identified 14 jail and prison expansion projects at various stages of completion, and then unfortunately once they'll be completed, if they'll be completed, but 2,500 new prisoner beds with a price tag currently surpassing $800 million and more announcements to come. For instance, those figures don't include, in terms of the monetary figures, don't include projects that Newfoundland is trying to push for, Prince Edward Island, and other governments that are lobbying the federal government, or we're presuming they're lobbying the federal government to get some of that infrastructure money that they've put out there for so-called shovel-ready projects. So, part of this moratorium is to try and stop some of these projects in their tracks where possible. And so it's really important that people get behind this and that we actually get the federal government to stop handing out money to provinces and territories who, want to warehouse people. It's not an effective and it's not an appropriate way of responding to social harm. So, we want to see a different future being built for ourselves. So,
What can people do to learn more about and support this petition and this campaign more broadly?
Right. So they can go sign the Canadian Prison Construction Moratorium at prison at change.org. They can also check out information about the No on Prison Expansion Initiative at CPEP's website, Criminalization Punishment Education Project, and that's www.cp-ep.org, so CPEP, or you can just type CPEP in the Google machine. It should work. If people want to get in touch with me, they can write me a letter to Justin Piché, 120 University Private, Department of Criminology, University of Ottawa. And it's in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code's K1N6N5. So I'm happy to correspond with people who are on the inside about this and seeing how we can work with folks inside on getting them out of prison and dismantling their cages.
That's it for my questions. Do you have anything else you wanted to add, Justin?
No, I'm good. So thank you for the opportunity for doing this.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
For those of you just tuning in, that was Justin Piché talking to us about a new campaign against prison expansion in Canada. You can check out their petition online at change.org with the title Canadian Prison Construction Moratorium. And we're going to have a little musical break. Listen to you.
KUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal.
So we wanted to share with you a submission from one of our inside correspondents. His name is Chaz. He's currently incarcerated in New York State. He sent us a flyer. It's for an event called Unite for Parole and Prison Justice, a day of advocacy and action. It's happening on Wednesday, May 10th, 2017 in Albany, New York. Our range is only for upstaters. He's got some information for New York City people here, and if you're listening on our website, we can post this online. But if you're in upstate New York, you're welcome to join the gathering in Albany. They're meeting at 9:30 a.m. in West Capitol Park at Washington and Swan. The rally starts at 12:30 in West Capitol Park, and you can follow them online at the hashtag ParoleJusticeNow and the hashtag ChallengingIncarcerationNewYork. And this event is sponsored and supported by Challenging Incarceration and Parole Justice New York. And then Chaz sent us a letter that he wanted us to read on air. He was sending it during March, which was Women's History Month, but we figured it was still important to read because Mother's Day is coming up, and why not have Women's History Month happen all the time? So his letter reads as follows. My family and I wish all the station and your families a blessed Women's History Month. As you know, the incarcerated brothers and sisters throughout the New York State system appreciate your dedication and spirit. The selfless dedication to educating and cultivating hope for everyone impacted by mass incarceration is something we acknowledge and admire. The love and commitment displayed by the girlfriends, wives, mothers, aunts, sisters, and friends of people incarcerated is not only appreciated, but in many instances serves to touch us deeply to the point of helping to change our worldview and change how we think about and treat each other. We know that the women who support someone that's incarcerated struggle silently while traveling miles in the dead of night to lug heavy packages to parts unknown. You brave the hostility and disrespect of prison guards and civilian staff who treat you with disdain and disregard, and who often violate your civil rights and humanity, as they test your commitment and love for us by threatening to deny you the visit. Yet you persevere and overcome the attempts to discourage and defeat you with facial recognition and palm scanners. You rise above the pettiness and racial indifference to display your true virtuous nature. The virtuous nature of a loving and supportive spouse, family member, and or friend. These are all things that those who persecute you envy us for because they don't experience this loving commitment in their lives. You rise above the pettiness and still find the strength of spirit to express loving kindness, compassion and consideration, loyalty and trust, companionship through the recognition of our humanity. All the while telling us you're preparing for and waiting for us to come home. You are the mothers, daughters, sisters, wives, and friends of people who have made some negative choices, learned from our transgressions, and have gained the desire to make amends with those we have harmed. We have learned about ourselves, matured, and have grown emotionally and spiritually, but we could never have become the men we are today without the love, support, and nurturing kindness of the women in our lives. Each time my mother or sister stood by my side when all others turned away, you saved me from myself. Each time my friends, family, or my wife believed in me over the circumstances as they were presented to them, you affirmed my need for you. Each time you tirelessly put my needs before yours, hoping that I would change, you pulled me from the darkness. A darkness in where the abyss of despair and hopelessness shroud you in an embrace to lure you into a conversation with yourself that has no purpose. You helped me find purpose in life. For these things and the many other unmentioned gifts you have given throughout history and each of you have given us directly, we thank you. We thank you for being true to your nature when circumstances are rough. We thank you for being caring when others are harsh. We thank you for being maternal when we fail to be paternal. We thank you for being feminine when we need to be masculine. We thank you for being strong when we are weak. And most importantly, we thank you for being sensitive and patient when we had to be taught by you to feel. On this day in Women's History Month 2017, Chaz would like to, on behalf of all those who are incarcerated and those at liberty who may not have matured to realize this, to express to all the incredible women of the world, and especially to those women who are the pillars of strength in our families and centers of our universe, that he humbly and respectfully honors you all for your courage in the face of adversity. Yeah, so that's a letter from Chaz Ransom. He's the president of the Lifers and Long-Termers organization at Otisville Medium State Prison. And for anyone who wants to participate, he's asking listeners to send the radio station a short biography of hidden figures, women who are not well known in social and political movements throughout history. And if you want to send us in those submissions, you're welcome to. We'll give our address at the end of the show. Our email address is prison@ckut.ca. And if time permits in the future, we might read some of your submissions on air.
So, Kendrick, you put out this new single,
yeah,
which samples the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who love you for bars and, you know, one of the, you know, some people could say the person that lyrically saved hip hop with your album, Good Kid, Mad City. They're taken aback by this single. They think it's too mainstream, too soon. Like, you going pop. You going top 40 on us. Talk to us about your decision to make this your single and make this type of sound.
Yeah, you know, I think from jump, I think the classifications of music is totally twisted, because now we have a generation where you take an Isley Brother sample, which is soul, and now, you know, we're in a world where people consider it pop. And I knew that'd come, of course, you know, but as me as a leader in music, I want to revamp that whole thing and put it back to its original origins.
We appreciate you.
And do that, you feel what I'm saying, and not be scared to step out and say, okay, this is not that, you feel me? This is black. Mm-hmm. This is soul, and y'all kids got to know this, you feel me? So my initial idea of writing this record was for two people. I hit Top Dog. See, I wrote a record for the homies that's in the penitentiary right now.
Mm.
And I also wrote a record for these kids that come up to my show with these slashes on their wrists.
What?
Saying they don't want to live no more.
Oh, like people who cut themselves.
Yeah, it's serious. And people on the inside, they don't feel like they don't got nothing to live for. People on the outside. And I say, okay, these are my homies in the hood. If I say something this blatant, this bold, this simple, they could take a reaction from that. They can lock your body, they can't trap your mind, for my homies that's in the pen. For the people that's outside, you have some way more to live for. It starts with yourself first, and you won't be thinking all this negative things that's going around in the world that's completely corrupting your brain and things like that. Mm. So that was my initial idea for the record, and that's how it's playing out today.
Yo, man.
A whole lot, trial, tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie. Pray that the holy water don't go dry, yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna down me, but enemy gon' never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they found me, and I love myself.
The world is a ghetto with big guns and dickies.
I love myself,
but they can do what they want whenever they want. I don't mind.
I love myself.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Lift up your head and keep moving.
But
let the paranoia haunt you. Peace to fashion police, I wear my heart on my sleeve, let the runway start. You know the miserable, do love company. What do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confidence. Everybody lack confidence. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto
because
of Dickie's
eyes. I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want. Street and a gun in the hood and a mob of police and a rock on a corner and a line full of fiend and a bottle full of lean and a motto on a scheme, yep. These days of frustration keep y'all on tuck in rotation. I duck these cold faces, post up, he fight for four bases. Dreams are reality's peace. Blow steam in the face of the beast. The sky can fall down, the wind can cry now. The strong in me, I still smile.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto with big guns and dickies.
I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto. sound and I'm moving at a medium speed. And I'm running to a better, let my body in the street. Keep my money in the center, let my mama know I'm free. Give my story to the children and a lesson they can read. And the glory to the feeling of the holy unseen. Seen enough, make a motherfucker scream. I love myself.
I lost my head, I must explain what the book would say. Oh, will I be? He is a jungle inside, yeah. Myself again till the well runs dry.
Currently 11:27 a.m. and you are listening to the Prison Radio Show here on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on cable, and www.ckut.ca. You just heard part of an interview with Kendrick Lamar. It was from Hot 97, and we also heard his latest single, I, here on the Prison Radio Show.
We are now joined live on the phone by Dara Bayer. Dara, can you hear me?
Yes, Dara.
Dara. Okay. Dara is one of the organizers of the International Conference on Penal Abolition, which will be taking place this summer in Massachusetts. So we've aired audio from the International Conference on Penal Abolition on the Prison Radio Show before, but for new listeners, Dara, can you give an intro to the conference?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be part of the show today. So the International Conference on Penal Abolition, or ICOPA, started in the mid-80s. And has been an international coming together of people around the world to talk about and envision a world without prisons, police, the whole penal system. And so this year it's happening in the United States, in Massachusetts, but it's been throughout Western Europe, it's been in South America, it's been in Canada many times, Nigeria. And so it's really about bringing people together from the international community to really build community, strategize, and work towards envisioning a different world.
Can you talk about the theme for this year's ICOPA conference?
Yeah, so the theme this year is Abolition and Its Ghosts, Historic Memory and Ongoing Struggles Against Colonialism and Slavery. And so we're really thinking about how the prison system, particularly in the United States, is very much comes from the system of chattel slavery and from the system of European colonialism, and really trying to make that continuous connection, as well as the struggle for abolishing these horrific unjust systems of oppression that have continued since the inception of this particular country, the United States. And so the location of the conference and the theme are really connected to making that historic connection and centering prisoners, people who are currently incarcerated, as those who've been as well as those who have been formerly incarcerated, in that struggle to transform society and the world on a much broader scale around the penal system.
Can you talk more about the choice of location?
Yes. Yeah, so this year, ICOPA, or the International Conference for Penal Abolition, will be located in New Bedford, which is in the northeast of the United States, or Turtle Island, and it's in the state of Massachusetts on the coast, southern coast. And it was home to Frederick Douglass, who was an enslaved African man who escaped chattel slavery and made it to New Bedford, and was a major leader in the abolitionist movement, really transformed many people's perspectives around abolishing slavery. And so he was part of a community, a very vibrant community of abolitionists in New Bedford that really worked to, of a multiracial community, Africans, indigenous folks, and Cape Verdeans, and some white people as well, who were really working to, at that time, totally transform society by abolishing slavery. And so we are in this historic location and really trying to, again, build that legacy to continue to transform and challenge these systems of enslavement that continue to be very much part of our world.
Mm-hmm. What are you most excited about for this year's conference?
So this is actually my first time organizing ICOPA. I haven't had the opportunity to attend another gathering. Personally, I'm very excited about the international focus. There'll be people coming from all over the world, and I think as an organizer in the United States, we can get very U.S.-centric in our perspectives and our organizing even around an international system like the penal system. But I also think I'm excited about the fact that we are in the U.S. and really the belly of the beast around the carceral state. You know, we imprison more people here than anywhere else in the world. And to center the voices and the experiences of those most impacted by the carceral state, prisoners, their families, people of color, women, trans folk, poor folk, really making sure that their voices are at the center of this conference. And I think really building that movement from the inside out, I think will be really amazing. I also think it's a really important opportunity, a critical political moment where, as many know, under a presidency that is pretty blatantly fascist and very much about supporting and upholding the white supremacist, heteropatriarchal police state, making sure that those who are marginalized continue to stay marginalized and voiceless. That's definitely the agenda. And so I think bringing people together now more than ever, it's important for us to really vision and think about how we can build our movement and connect people from the inside and on the outside to really think about how we can create this different world and create these alternatives in our own communities. So I think all of that will be part of this conference. We just had our retreat to organize it, and we're really excited to get more people involved and for people to come and to have their voices to be heard. So definitely for those on the inside, we're really wanting to make sure that writings, art, recordings, whatever kinds of work you'd be interested in contributing can be integrated into the conference and be heard by those attending. That's very important to us.
What's the deadline for submissions, and how can people who are currently incarcerated submit to the conference?
Yes, so the deadline is for submissions for those on the inside is June 1st. And hold on one sec, I'm just going to pull up the call. I can say out loud the address to send it to. People can send their work to UMass Dartmouth. That's the other host of the conference. So we'll be in New Bedford, but we'll also be at UMass, University of Massachusetts in Dartmouth, which is right next to New Bedford. And the Department of Crime and Justice Studies is co-sponsoring this year's ICOPA. So let me see here. I think it says, hold on one moment. So people can go to the website. That's one way people can access if they have internet. And that the website for ICOPA this year is icopa17.wordpress.com. And so that is one way for people to find it. The other way is, give me one moment, sorry. Call for prisoners, there we go. Is to send submissions to the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth, the Department of Crime and Justice Studies in care of Wendy Graca, Graca being Graca, at 285 Old Westport Road, Liberal Arts Building, Office 399G, North Dartmouth, Mass., 02747. So that's North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, MA, 02747. So that's the, the submission deadline for folks on the inside is June 15th. And we will let people know whether their work is going to be part of the conference soon after that.
Can you give us a sense of what you're looking for in the submissions?
Yes. So in terms of submissions, we are looking for work that connects to the theme of historic memory and ongoing struggles against colonialism and slavery. In terms of proposals or in terms of the art and writings and recordings, we're interested in abolitionist perspectives or perspectives that really are about envisioning a world with completely without prisons, without police, without the penal system, that think about structural and state-sanctioned violence, white supremacy, heteropatriarchy, anti-colonialism, environmental justice, immigration and borders, reproductive justice and self-determination, rethinking claims of quote-unquote modern-day slavery, policing, imprisonment, and incarceration, historic memory of abolition and resistance, houselessness and settler colonialism, gentrification, indigenous First Nations freedom struggles, strong critiques of the narratives and assumptions of rehabilitation and penal reform, environmental movements, including contamination of natural resources and politics, legacies of chattel slavery and anti-blackness, creative and wide-reaching understandings of imprisonment, incarceral violence, living death, social death, ontology, ghosting, ghosted analysis, living within or stepping beyond the shadows of chattel slavery and colonialism. So those are the bulleted lists of possible topics or themes to explore through visual art, through recordings, through writings, through poetry. But really we're looking for it for abolitionist writing perspectives creative work that connects to those larger themes.
And for folks on the outside, do you want to just mention when the conference itself is happening in case people are thinking about trying to go?
Yes, that would be wonderful. So the conference is July 26th to the 29th. So the Wednesday will start in the evening with a opening reception, and then there'll be workshops on that Thursday, the 27th and 28th, and Friday, the 28th. And then the Saturday we'll have a final closeout strategizing plenary session to finish it off. So it's a Wednesday night through a Saturday afternoon, July 26th to the 29th.
And that's it for my questions, Dara. Do you have anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so. Again, thank you for having me. I think this is a really important platform. We very, very much want to center the lives and experiences and perspectives of people who are imprisoned right now and their loved ones, and also those who are formerly incarcerated. And so we very much hope that people will be interested. And also if there's people who are interested in getting involved in any way, I'll just put out the email address that people can reach out to with other questions, which is ICOPA, so that's ICOPA17 at umassd.edu. So again, I'll say it's ICOPA17 at UMassD, which is umassd.edu.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, Dara.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
For those of you just tuning in, that was Dara Bayer, one of the organizers of the upcoming International Conference on Penal Abolition, which will be taking place in Massachusetts in July this summer.
And we now like to share with you another call for submissions. This is for art and article submissions for the 2018 Certain Days Freedom for Political Prisoners calendar. The theme this year is Awakening Resistance, and the deadline is May 15th. So it'll be the 17th edition of the calendar. It will be released this coming fall. And Awakening Resistance is about reflecting on organizing in the current political climate. Specifically, they're looking for 12 works of art and 12 short articles to feature in the calendar, which hangs in more than 2,500 homes, workplaces, prison cells, and community spaces around the world. They are encouraging contributors to submit new and existing work. They also seek submissions from prisoners in particular. And some more about the theme, Awakening Resistance. The current political moment changes the landscape for radical organizing. beyond the White House, communities worldwide are facing a climate that is more openly white supremacist, misogynist, and Islamophobic. Trump's election specifically has woken up many elements on the left as well as on the right, both north and south of the U.S.-Canadian border. So some questions for us all to consider. What can other periods of history teach us about what brought us to this moment, and what can we anticipate in the next few years? How can we bring in or work with newly politicized people or those who could become politicized? How can we openly and decisively oppose fascist organizing? What does this moment look like uniquely within the Canadian state or in other global contexts? What does resistance look like for radical movements of all kinds, ecological, anti-colonial, migrant justice, queer, and trans liberation struggles? And so the Certain Days 2018 calendar is partly inspired by an article by calendar co-editor David Gilbert, who wrote this short piece, The Context for the Trump Phenomenon, which you can read online. Here's a bit of an excerpt from David Gilbert. He says, "There's been an outpouring of left analysis on who voted for Trump and why. Some of it is very helpful about race, class, and the economy. From what I've seen, there's been very little that puts all that in the global context within the U.S. as the premier imperial power, but in decline. Nor has there been enough that has rooted Trump's rise in the developments of the past 45 years. So this is the challenge for our ongoing project of analysis and activism. So you're encouraged to submit articles that are 500 words max. And in terms of artwork, they're looking for a variety of formats, paintings, drawings, photographs, prints, computer design graphics, collage. They tend to work with portrait size as opposed to landscape formats. And the submission is May 15th. You can send it to info@certaindays.org. Prisoner submissions are later, so June 7th, and can be mailed to Certain Days, care of Cupra Concordia, 1455 de Maisonneuve Boulevard West, Montreal, Quebec, H3G1M8, or you can write to Certain Days, care of New York City Anarchist Black Cross, P.O. Box 110034, Brooklyn, New York 11211.
We've been sharing a lot of addresses on the show today. If you missed any of them, we'll give our address for the station at the end of the show. And if you want to write to us, we'll send you all of the information that we've been sharing on the show today. On the morning of April 26, 2017, Margaret Prescott of Sojourner Truth Radio on KPFK spoke with two family members of a man who's been awaiting trial for 3 years in solitary and has been on hunger strike in the Riverside County Jail in California since the first day of April 13th, and we wanted to share that interview with you next.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and we're going to wrap up our show now about a prisoner hunger strike out in Riverside, the Robert Presley Detention Center in Riverside County, California. Prisoners have been on hunger strike, and of course, we have seen over the past years a slew of hunger strikes happening, not only in prisons, but also in detention centers. As we speak, the hunger strike in the Tacoma Immigration Detention Center continues. That is still underway. So I'd like to welcome two guests who are family members of some of those prisoners who are on hunger strike. I'd like to welcome Antonia Venegas, and she is the wife of one of the main leaders in the hunger strike. Antonia, thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Okay, and Annie, Salvador Venegas' sister, is also on the line with us. Annie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Antonio, first of all, give our listeners an idea of this hunger strike. What day are they in, and what are the demands?
This is day 13, and some of the demands are... A few of the demands are actually based on the basics of ending frivolous policies that they have in the jails, such as, you know, the limited phone time that they have, the administration segregation. They have a lot of problems with the classification process and the housing that they place the inmates in, the solitary confinement. There's a number of things, actually, that they're addressing here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you have been familiarized with the newspaper article that came out in the Press Enterprise recently.
Well, what we'd like to do is for our people who are listening right now to know about the demands. So you mentioned solitary confinement. That is a big one. I'm looking at the list right now. They want to prohibit the use of long-term indefinite solitary confinement and also prohibit the use of solitary confinement based only on gang affiliation allegations, affiliation or validation. Also, a denial of adequate clothing to inmates. They want an end to that, an end to jail profiteering and exploitation of prisoners and families through commissary and trust accounts. Provide opportunities for religious services, self-help, and educational programs to end the housing mental health prisoners with regular prisoners and to establish accountability for each grievance to catalog the concern. So back to you, Antonio. Antonia, your husband is a key leader here from the point of view of a family member. How has this hunger strike not only impacted your husband, but also on his family members, Antonia?
Well, it actually, the obvious in this is actually going to sound a little rough, but, you know, everybody's aware that jail is not intended a place to be, you know, made out of fun. But when, you know, I go with my children and I'm going to visit my husband and, you know, he's not a violent person. He hasn't acted out in the jails. This is him specifically, but we're trying to speak as everybody in a whole. But he's treated as if he's been convicted of a crime already and he's still waiting trial, you know. My children just
How long has he been waiting trial?
Almost 3 years.
What?
Over 3 years, yeah. Yeah. And you know, even though he's doing what he's doing with his hunger strike and stuff, he's not doing it for only himself. This is for everybody, you know, that's become subject to the county of Riverside and their policies inside our county jail, our local county jails, you know. It's not an individual choice here. It's just something that when it's wrong, it's wrong. And he believes that we shouldn't be treated this way, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, what you've said is, I'm sure, shocking to Antonia, to a lot of our listeners, that somebody could be held 3 years in a jail, right? Haven't been charged, but not found guilty, right?
Exactly. Or
and you're serving time. I mean, that should be illegal. How could you be in prison or jail and you haven't been sentenced for a crime? It's outrageous.
Right. And I don't understand how you know, it's kind of hard to comprehend how, you know, people that have been convicted of crimes have so much more privileges freedom-wise in custody than people who are still awaiting trial, because once you're in prison, you're not really subject to any of this treatment. Basically, the state of California recognized this situation when they had the last large hunger strike up there in the prisons in Pelican Bay, SHU and stuff. And the government actually did realize that this is wrong. This is unhealthy. This is not humane to do to people, and started removing people from the SHU. But that's at a state level. So now the county jail feels that they don't have to recognize that they'd rather just keep people in solitary confinement most of the time if you're in administrative segregation. And it's not okay. It's not okay. And especially when inmates are not acting out and causing problems, there's no reason to treat them that way.
Yeah, and Antonio, the reason, because we do know there are a lot of abuses that go on in prisons across the United States, including torture, as witnessed by the case of the Dallas Six in Pennsylvania. And it really took the largest hunger strike in the history in known history in California that started 30,000 strong within, you know, behind prison walls, that really brought a lot of this to the fore and forced some of the changes that you are now referring to. Annie, what about, can you share with us some of what you are asking, supporters are asking people to do to support the hunger strikers, either Antonio or Annie?
Actually, if it's possible, you know, it's so basic. It only takes a phone call, you know, a quick letter to the local county jails here. I have phone numbers that people can call and just let them know that we're supporting the inmates on this, because we feel that this is wrong. You know, this is not something that you can't treat people this way and then release them to society after treating them so badly for so long.
Can you share some of the phone numbers?
Yeah, actually, the one of them right here is for the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, and the phone number is 951-955-2400. And then you would press option 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then another one is for the actual Robert Presley Detention Center jail.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's 951-955-4500. And then you would press 1 and then 8.
Right. And what we'll do is we'll also post that information up on the social media of our show, you know, so our listeners can go there as well. Now, just very quickly, we just have a minute or so. What kind of support are you getting? Who are supporting the hunger strikers right now?
We have a lot of actual, besides family members and friends, there's a All of Us Are None. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the advocate group. They're titled All of Us Are None. And I believe her name was Vanya.
Yeah.
She's a really good woman. She does a lot for the inmates also. And Dolores Canales, she's also another advocate. And she had a lot to do with the support during the Pelican Bay hunger strike. She's an awesome lady. She's so, so nice.
Yeah.
We have a couple of different... You know, other than family and friends, we have a couple of different advocates that come out, and they do so much for the inmates. They're wonderful people. They really are.
Right.
Really
well,
are. Some of us have actually been subject to this ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not nice.
Right. Well, it's always family members, and so often the women, I'll have to say, that are at the forefront for justice for their loved ones who are inside. So we appreciate your work. We appreciate you joining us, and we hope that you'll continue to keep us posted on this hunger strike. Yes. Is there an end in sight to it? Is there an end date, or is it kind of wide open?
Well, it's kind of wide open. It actually fluctuates. It depends on the jails and if they're willing to meet the needs of the inmates. The inmates call them demands. I call them needs.
Okay.
But, you know, if they can meet those needs, then it can stop at any given time. But really, it was supposed to go on for 18 days, and I don't see it coming to an end anytime soon, though.
Right.
They're on day 13 right now with no food and just... strictly pretty much water diets, and it's not looking good.
All righty. Well, Antonio Alvinegas and Annie, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate that.
Okay, we appreciate you.
That was Margaret Prescott of Sojourner Truth Radio on KPFK, who spoke with two family members of a man who's been awaiting trial for 3 years in solitary confinement in Riverside County Jail in California. There are currently about 30 people on hunger strike in Riverside County Jail to protest inhumane and needlessly restrictive policies. For more information, folks with the internet can visit prisonerhungerstrikesolidarity.wordpress.com.
And we have a last community announcement for you. It's that the DESTA Black Youth Network, a nonprofit organization located in Montreal's neighborhood of Little Burgundy, and they are dedicated to empowering Black youth in the areas of education, health, and personal development and advocacy. They also offer support to community members of all ages who are in prison or have been impacted by the criminal justice system. They have a justice program, and DESTA can provide the following services to prisoners. They are willing to offer informal counseling over the phone, available by collect call, 514-932-3242, advocacy and referrals with parole officers, halfway hosts, and as well as community visits at Cowansville Institution. DESTA says that prisoners are welcome to call on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 10 to 6 for more information. And again, the number is 514-932-3242. DESTA says that they look forward to hearing from those contacting them about these services. And so the time is presently 11:55. You've been listening to The Prison Radio Show here on CKUT 90.3 FM. You can check out past episodes of The Prison Radio Show at prisonradioshow.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Prison Radio Show. The Prison Radio Show airs twice a month on CKUT. We're on the air the second Thursday of the month at 5 p.m. and the fourth Friday at 11 a.m. The next Prison Radio Show will air on Thursday, May 11th at 5 p.m. If you have any questions on anything that you've heard on today's show, or if you wish to be involved with the show, you can contact us at prison@ckut.ca. Formerly incarcerated people are encouraged to participate. Folks can leave a message on our listener comment line at 514-448-4041, extension 2547. If you are in prison, we encourage you to participate in the show in any way possible. You can always write to us at the Prison Radio Show, care of CQUT, this radio station, 3647 University Street, Montreal, Quebec, H3A2B3. Thank you for tuning in to the Prison Radio Show. My name is Candace.
And my name is Virginia.
And we've been your hosts for today. Stay tuned for Butcher T's noon hour cuts here on CQUT.
Job, Harvey, to give a man back the dignity he once had. Your only interest is in how he behaves. You'll conform to our ideas of how you should behave.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You were a number. You weren't a man. You want to be a human. I wasn't Jim Crow, and hell, I was number 586.